Our scripture today comes from Philippians 1, verse 3 through 11. I encourage you to hear the word of God however is best for you. I'm an auditory person, so if that's just closing your eyes and listen, do that. If that's reading along, you can read along on the screen. However best it is for you to encounter the word, to soak it in, I encourage you to do. Let's go to the word to God. Philippians 1, 3 through 11 says this: I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart. For all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ, you may poor and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. And together we say, thanks be to God. It's another letter of Paul to the Philippians. And we light the candle this week of God's abundant, steadfast love. Last week, we talked about hope. As we journey to Advent, as we journey to the coming of Christ, we talked about what does it mean to journey to hope, right? And what it means to journey to hope is to remember the steadfast love. And this week, we go to that steadfast love as part of that journey. But in the Christmas season, if there's one thing that's become very apparent to me, it can be a very polarizing season. It's one of those seasons where there's joy, there's all sorts of lights and events and markets and things going on publicly, all over the place, frequently. There's parties, right? There's celebrations. There's happy messages, joy, love, peace, right? All these things, they're plastered everywhere. Unlike any other season in our country, in our city, right? This, more than anything, it is out in front. It is all over the place. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's fun. But at the same time, it makes the contrasts between those places that don't have that so much more clear, doesn't it? For those who have experienced loss this year, for those who do not have peace, who have struggled with joy, who have struggled with hope, who have struggled with love, it begins to alienate them. We have advertisements all over the place downtown celebrating this season, and yet there's still someone on the side of the road in need of food. There are parts of this world that address that just by being away from it, right? If we don't see it, it doesn't exist. Ignorance is bliss, right? But how many of us really have the privilege of creating that kind of space for us? How much time do we spend maybe trying to create that space and yet still can't? I think the story that stands out so much to me this week that really captures that was the public execution of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. It's Christmas season, it's Advent, and we have video of someone being killed. Walking out of a door, and just like that, someone else has chosen to end their life. But more so, beyond that, is in the season of peace, love, joy, people don't really feel that bad about it, do they? Most of my feed, I don't know what your algorithm is showing you, people is just kind of like, yeah, well, you get what you get. You get what you're coming to. Because if we're being honest, right, we understand, and if you ask any health profession out there, it is a struggle and a battle. The system of healthcare we have is in shambles. It is hurting. It is in pain. And it needs some real big TLC, doesn't it? And so maybe it's understandable that in that context with people who are jaded and tired of fighting for their own well-being and their own health and the health of their family, that there might be a lack of sympathy for someone who's participated in that. And so we may not think twice about it, but we're in a season where we're supposed to be remembering the peace, love, hope, joy, is what leads us to Jesus. Not callousness, not jadedness, not darkness, not despair. So how are we supposed to address this as Christians? How are we supposed to live that in this season? When we, if we're being honest, may feel the same jadedness and that same heart if we really took a second to think about it. The letter of Paul is the beginning. It's the introduction. And what he's encouraging them is to continue to be faithful, as Paul is wont to do in his letters. Right? To continue the journey. But I want to go back and read the end just to highlight it for a second here. This is in verse 9, towards the end of the passage read. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless. To love, overflow more and more, to gain more knowledge of it, to gain more insight of it, to determine what really matters. How often do we take the time to determine what really matters? How often do we take the space to discern what really matters? How much time do we actually understand joy, hope, peace, steadfast love, all these things as either pretending or ignoring or isolating instead of trying to discern what really matters? How often do we take Advent and we turn it into escapism instead of purpose? See, for Paul, and he'll go on in the next chapter to flesh this out because this is the introduction. But right after this, he goes in and he says, the way you do this, the way you grow in this knowledge, the way that you continue in this steadfast love is to see the power of Christ, the presence of Christ in someone else. That yes, it is about Christ in you, but it's really, really, if you're going on the journey and you want to grow in love, it's the whole point. The question you should be asking is, how is Christ in them? To grow in knowledge of Christ for Paul is to grow in knowledge of how Christ's presence and power is in the other. Is in this heart of the other. Surrounds the other. calls the other, and to treat them with that same steadfast love. To try and practice it, to try to live beyond it, to try to create a different option, not in which we live out of jadedness for ourself, but sacrifice for our neighbor. The interesting thing, and this is biblical nerd time, is in this last verse, it says, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Righteousness is one of those words I think we've lost its significance. Righteousness is one of those words that feels so kind of maybe just an enigma to us. It's so big and broad that it feels just kind of unpractical, or it feels so unattainable or so holy that we shouldn't even try, right? It's one of these words that we've put so far out of reach, I think, in our minds. But if you really look at the broad definition of the word being translated here and the more down-to-earth definition, it's two things. And this word gets translated righteousness because it's kind of the best option we have, but the word is so much more complex than that. What's really saying is it's about living in harmony with God's will, God's purpose, right? There's the broader sense of this is putting us in harmony with God. There is a God and us, a broad aspect, creation fulfilling its purpose in the presence of God in harmony with God's will. So there's that sense, right? That broad sense. But here's the get down to it. The way that happens is justice. And in fact, this word is a combination of justice and that kind of right relationship. You could translate this word justice, and in fact, in other places, it is translated as justice. But so many times we separate the concept of justice and righteousness, but in reality, and what Paul is saying is, and the Paul language Paul is using, there is no separation between these two things. To live justly is to live righteously. To live justly is in to be right relationship with our Creator. To live justly is to be in harmony, not with just God, but one another. To live justly is to live love steadfastly. The words we read in the candle talk about the future work of God that will restore, that will lift up, that will heal the broken that this world has created. But God does that through what? Blind optimism? No. Steadfast love. Steadfast love in Christ. Steadfast love in Christ in me. Steadfast love in Christ in them. To journey to hope and love means to understand that to be in harmony with God is to be in harmony with one another. That we do not create the God's world. We do not create harmony with God through violence. We do not create harmony through God through dismissing, through elevating ourselves and lowering others. No. We create harmony and steadfast love by seeing the significance of Christ alive in them. It can be hard in a world that feels overwhelming. It can be hard not to look at what happened this week with this CEO and not feel too bad about it, given some of our experiences. But what Jesus ultimately points us to is to say, to grow in knowledge, to grow in insight, and to realize that there is something else to be discerned here. Just a month ago, I was sitting down with someone from the church, and they told me this story, a story that changed their life. They were young, broke, didn't have anything, ended up going to the doctor, ended up having some things that needed to be done, and they had a few $100 bill that came out of that. And as much as they wanted to pay it, they couldn't. They couldn't pay it. It was either pay that or eat and rent. They wanted to. They wanted to honor that. They wanted to be someone who kept their word, but there were no options on the table for them. And in the Christmas season, after spending time feeling this guilt, right, they get a letter from the doctor. And the letter says this: as part of my Christian faith, I believe it is important and a part of my faith to forgive debts. And so every year at this time, I forgive the debts that I still have. Your account is paid and covered. Merry Christmas. I remember going with colleagues, talking about what the church should be, and we're walking, we're kind of taking this tour of faith, and we're going along, and we stop and says, this is where the church burns debt every year. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, every year this church, they go to these companies, they go to these hospitals, they buy up the debt of other people for pennies on the dollar, and they forgive it. They write him a letter and they say, we want you to know that you're loved. Your debt is paid. To journey to hope and steadfast love is more real than pretending. It's more real than ignoring. It's more real than fighting. To journey in steadfast love is truly to discover what it means to live, what it means to be in harmony with God, to be in harmony as people together in this world. Pray with me. God, we thank you that in all things that you are making us new. Lord, that you don't just call us to hope in some promise, without a presence of love that leads us there. God, we are grateful that in every generation, in every season, that Christ is not just alive in us, but also surrounds all that we see. That you are calling the world to know the depths of your hope and the depths of your love. As we come and worship in this time, in this space, Lord, we pray that you would allow us to feel that deeper than we may have felt in a while. That you would bring us to places of remembering what that love is, and where the places that we have not experienced, that this season you would bring us to places to experience it in new ways. God, we surrender ourselves to you, in hopes that we can take hold just a little bit more of your presence, a little bit more of your love this season. Give you his time, give you our lives. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.